Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I have a update on the fight for freedom in Manchester.
All right. Manchester, New Hampshire.
As you may recall, in the 2007 era, there was this argument that if we could just get a tax cap, or really it was technically a spending cap, on the city, then it would be very, very difficult for them to override. It would be a big deal if they overrode it, and it would cause public backlash.
Okay.
Well, we did get the tax cap, or spending cap, really. And the is a reminder of how important an individual can be in New Hampshire. There were about four different people who I would say who, if any one of them had not been involved, there would never have been a spending cap. And I was one of them. Tammy Simmons was one of them. And I just was going out and getting petitions because I was getting paid, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the New Hampshire Advantage Coalition and other organizations made sure that it was possible to finally get this spending cap. But the problem is, once the spending cap went into effect, with great public support and all kinds of government obfuscation and trying to stop it, but the public was way behind it. It did reduce the credibility of the government.
Johnny Ray, you've been following the Catalonian secession news. What's the latest?
The latest that I've seen today is simply that a lot of the Catalan government, the opposition to the current Catalan government,
mm-hmm.
Making them the opposition being more sympathetic to Spain and against independence, they have kind of swung around after the more really against Spain and saying that Spain
really
is doing wrong because of their invocation of Article 155 and announcing that they would be taking direct rule over Catalonia.
That was the announcement that was made, I believe, yesterday in Spain by, was it Mariano Rajoy, I don't know if he's the prime minister or what his deal is, but he's...
I believe he's the Spanish prime minister.
Yeah. He announced that they were going to invoke this Article 155, which gives the Spanish government the ability to basically move in and take over an area like Catalonia that has supposedly been autonomous. They are going to strip their autonomy from them, supposedly, and basically impose what they call direct rule over the area, which may include, or what they're promising will include in, I think, as early as January, elections that the Spanish government is going to force upon the Catalan region. Spain's reaction to the Catalonian independence has been firm and blunt. Sunday, its foreign minister Alfonso Dastis said if a coup had taken place, it had been carried out by Puigdemont and his colleagues. Puigdemont is the leader of the Catalan parliament. However, the Speaker of the Catalan Parliament, Carme Forcadell, called the measures a de facto coup d'etat, and Puigdemont said the legislature would meet to discuss its response. Quote, I will ask Parliament to call a plenary session in which the representatives of civil sovereignty, those who've been elected by the votes of citizens, can debate and decide how to respond to the attempt to eliminate our self-government and our democracy and act accordingly. The board of the Catalan Parliament is due to meet Monday to fix a date for the plenary session. So there's still a whole lot of talking about what to get started doing here as far as both sides are concerned. Now, it does sound like the Spanish government's ready to impose direct rule, but from what I heard earlier, they just simply announced that they were going to impose direct rule and that will be coming like within the next week or maybe at the end of this coming week.
They also, I think, would like to hire the current Catalan police forces. They would like to just incorporate them into the...
Really? Because I had heard they were going to take over. Speaking of the police being shipped in, that's literally what happened during and
yes.
before the vote, where they had two cruise ships docked in Barcelona's harbor filled with government police from across Spain whose job it was to shut down voting locations and arrest people and try to stop them from participating in this vote. In fact, that's what the whitewashing is going to be coming up here. Let me share those quotes from Alfonso Dastis, who had said that the coup was on the side of that if there was a coup, it was the Catalans who were conducting the coup. He said the government was trying reluctantly to reinstate order in Catalonia following the referendum and called on people in the region to respect its decision. He told the BBC's Andrew Marr show, quote, "We are going to establish the authorities who are going to rule the day-to-day affairs of Catalonia according to the Catalan laws and norms."
Marr said that if the Spanish get ultra violent, if the Spanish get ultraviolet and win, then I look good, and if the Spanish get ultraviolet and then lose, then I look bad. And I said the ultraviolence, and then we talked about courage, and if the people and if the Europeans have backbone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mark was talking about it in the sense that do the Spanish have the fortitude? Yeah, the Spanish government, do they have the iron in them to do a disgusting, violent act? And I said,
they already did. They already attacked voters.
Yeah, they did. But
peaceful,
I mean,
voters.
Sure.
With non-lethal means.
Hoping, right. They were largely on non-lethal means. They were hoping that their show of force would drive the voters away. But what they in fact did was just, you know, at first they told the people that agreed with them not to vote. So they just gave the election away. And then they put the window dressing of it, of tyranny on, by sending in the Darth Vader clones.
Yeah, they had the shock troops out.
In Massachusetts, the Kennedys are regarded as a god. But that's very sad because when you look at JFK with a womanizer, and he was ran a brothel in the White House, and Bobby Kennedy, who was a ruthless, very ruthless politician in many regards. Ted Kennedy had
all the Kennedys a god in Massachusetts, or are they like a pantheon of their own sort of quarreling gods?
They are. The reason why the power they have is the Irish control tremendous power in Massachusetts, and the Kennedys are Irish Catholic.
Do you hate Irish people too?
What's that?
Do you hate Irish people too?
The Irish control too much power in Massachusetts. It's like a little Ireland, and that's one of the reasons why, if you were to speak to the average person in Massachusetts, Kennedy can do no wrong. I mean, look at Marty Walsh, for example. He's the mayor of Boston. Most of the politicians, the big politicians, are all Irish Catholic, and they run the state, and I resent it.
Wasn't the last mayor of Boston black? I mean, I'm pretty sure he's not Irish.
No. What I'm saying is that in Massachusetts, at one time the Brahmins or the Blue Bloods, the old Yankees, ran Massachusetts. Those days are long gone.
But now
and
it's
the Irish.
Control
it. And there's a lot
what
of
do you got against Irish people?
Johnny Ray, is this where Ian shows his ignorance that most Irish people are Catholic?
Are they Catholic? That's what I was going to ask.
Most of them are.
So that's what this is about.
Majority are.
It's about their religion.
About the Irish is that they're crooked in Massachusetts politics. They're always pulling different.
Did you know that all politicians are crooked? I mean, you do realize that politicians, just by their nature, are crooked. It doesn't have anything to do with where they were born.
But I'm talking about Massachusetts, where Irish Catholic politicians are drunk with power. And you look at Mayor Walsh of Boston. Let's look at him. He's the most Irish-looking guy I've ever seen. I wouldn't trust him as far as I'd throw him. And it goes back to from the days of Kevin White to...
How do you know an Irish person when you see them?
A lot of times through freckles, they have freckles, freckled faces, light complexion, although Protestants do too. A lot of times their noses are red from all the alcohol they consume. They love to drink, the Irish. They have a tremendous drinking problem.
You have this mayor's race going on in Albuquerque with Sarah's favorite, Tim Keller, is the favorite. He was on the radio yesterday being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, if he was mayor, and we've had riots here in Albuquerque before, and there was a controversy over how the mayor and the police department handled it, and it was when Trump had come here when he was campaigning, and so they're anticipating that kind of thing possibly happening again, and they don't want to have the same problems over. So the interviewer asked Tim Keller, mayoral candidate, and what would you do? How would you handle it if you had like we did before riots downtown involving Antifa? And Keller goes, and what is Antifa? So obviously you got it, and I'll let you explain it to your audience. You'll do it more, in a more entertaining
Antifa
fashion
is
than I
anti-fascist.
Will,
but... They are getting a lot of news headlines these days for going out and being violent and attacking and fighting with white nationalist types.
The fact
Nazis.
That the guy didn't know who it was sort of shows a
it's like an Aleppo moment, right? What is Aleppo?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a connection, and just so happens to be Gary Johnson is another New Mexico native,
true.
Just like Tim Keller.
There's a referendum in Kurdistan, what, Erbil? Isn't that right?
I don't know. I haven't heard.
My geography is terrible. I'm going to go ahead and go with Erbil as being a Kurdish city. And
they want to secede from Kurdistan?
No, Kurdistan doesn't exist.
Oh, okay.
But Kurds are an ethnic group in the Middle East that live in parts of Iraq, Iran, Syria, Turkey, and I'm not sure where else. And they would like to have their own state.
They want to create Kurdistan.
There's a little bit in Iran, if you'll.
I said Iran.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. So there was a referendum there too, and following their referendum, the Iraqi army troops moved in and took over there.
Wow.
Where they had some amount of autonomy starting in the 90s.
Under Hussein?
The U.S. State Department, I guess, had encouraged them to rise up against Saddam Hussein.
Huh.
And the U.S. did not follow through with any support.
Right.
And then so the Saddam rolled over them.
Crushed them. Quote, I'm not saying that all of them are fake pictures, but some of them
right.
are.
The one of Darth Vader doing kung fu on that Catalonian's head, not fake.
Some of them are. And there have been a lot of alternative facts and fake news here. As I said, if there was at all. And according to the pictures, there was some use of force. It was not a deliberate use of force. It was a provoked use of force. You provoked us by going to vote. Mm. You provoked us by going to participate in the democracy that you thought that we supported, right? Like, democracy is this big buzzword out there, and people love their democracy. Now, we know better here on Free Talk Live. We know it's two wolves and a sheep deciding on dinner. But regardless, that's what they did. They went to exercise their supposed democratic right, and he called that provoking the use of force. You come try to vote, we're going to crack your head.
Yeah.
It's not our fault we're cracking
your head.
You're
voting on the wrong things.
You're doing this to yourself as they're, you know, beating
Stop
you.
Stop hitting yourself. Right. Stop hitting yourself.
Stop voting. Stop voting.
Rajoy is the first Spanish prime minister to invoke Article 155. It's the so-called nuclear option of Spain's 1978 constitution. But Dastis insisted the government was merely enacting a carbon copy of an article that also exists in the German constitution. John Stossel has recently weighed in. And there's a column that was published by John Stossel over at the Union Leader, which is the largest newspaper in New Hampshire. I presume this appeared in syndication elsewhere, but that's where I saw it. He writes, the United States was born when the Founding Fathers seceded from England. So why do so many people now see secession as a terrible thing? Recently, people in Catalonia voted to break away from Spain, as we've been discussing in detail here, not to declare war on Spain or refuse to trade with Spain, just to control their own affairs.
Right. I mean, that's what it seems like is, you know, you got to do everything just to be able to say, hey, no, we want to take care of our own stuff.
Governments, or he says the Spanish government says they must not even vote. They sent police to shut down polling places and beat protesters into staying off the streets. Governments never want to give up power. The European Union was offended and American politicians shocked when the United Kingdom voted to exit the EU, what they called the Brexit at that time. And they're still in that process. It wasn't like they just voted and then they were gone. There's like this ridiculously, of course, political and long drawn out.
Best I can tell, they're still in the EU.
Right. It's going to take probably more time. I don't know how many more months or years, but it's brutal. Anyway, going on here, he says pundits declared Britain's move a terrible mistake. But local governments can be more responsive to the needs of constituents. This time, Ben Bernanke has lined up to take his shots at Bitcoin. You know, the former Fed chairman who took over after Greenspan, I believe it was. It was
yeah.
Greenspan, then Bernanke.
He's also the one that said, what? Housing bubble? There's no housing bubble.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Right.
And Greenspan, that conservative hero, free marketeer, said that he had... I don't remember the exact quote, but basically said, I was wrong in thinking that freedom and markets could self-correct and so forth. They cannot.
He changed his mind because he used to be a gold bug back in the day, right?
Yeah.
He sort of turned into a gold bug back when he got out of office, too.
Did he again?
Yeah.
So Ben Bernanke, according to Cointelegraph.com, which is a great Bitcoin-related news site, the former chairman of the Federal Reserve made his views against Bitcoin clear at a conference recently organized by Ripple in Toronto. Ripple's one of the competitors to Bitcoin out there. I think it's the number three cryptocurrency at the moment by market cap size. Undermining the government, not a recipe for success, he claims. Echoing the views of J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, Bernanke feels that the decentralized nature of Bitcoin, which puts it outside government control, will trigger its downfall. Speaking at Swell, the three-day conference organized by Ripple in Toronto, Bernanke said, quote, Bitcoin is an attempt to replace fiat currency and evade regulation and government intervention.
These bankers who are wrong over and over again and are paid to be wrong, right? Like the government gives them lots of money to be wrong. Listening to them is only going to drive your nation state further into the grave. That's what my concern is. Look, mm-hmm. I understand governments can put a real hamper on Bitcoin. That's real. Let's not think that just because Bitcoin prices are booming right now that they're always going to do that.
No, it could go down tomorrow.
Sure.
You never know.
You never know.
I wasn't saying that it was good that Venezuela was cracking down on Bitcoin. I was just giving an example of even when it's being cracked down upon,
yep.
There are still people mining, still people buying Bitcoin miners and getting into mining because there's money to be made.
Europe,
in that case.
Europe and many parts across Southeast Asia are very, very interested in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. Mm-hmm. At this point, I believe this root system is too deep to have done to do
to
anything.
Be undone.
Yeah, to be undone. There was a time when Bitcoin could have been, in my estimation, burned out and killed by the forces, the powers that be.
Yeah.
But I think it's not too late for that.
If anything, it's going to be burned out by its own infighting. I mean, if anything damages Bitcoin, it's going to be the people inside of Bitcoin rather than the governments. But that's not going to put an end to cryptocurrency.
That won't put an end to crypto. And frankly, if that happens, fine. I'm ready for the new, better cryptocurrency that comes out anyway.
Yeah.
There are better cryptocurrencies out there. In my opinion, Dash is a better cryptocurrency than Bitcoin is. It just doesn't have the name recognition.
No, it doesn't. And it doesn't have the network effect.
It doesn't have that network effect.
By all measures, any measure you could possibly look at, Bitcoin having risen over the last not quite a decade, eight or 9 years, to $6,000 per Bitcoin. It's a new high. That 6,100 was the latest record high of Bitcoin. It was set within the last several days. From zero. It came from zero to do this. It's being accepted by thousands upon thousands of businesses as large as Microsoft, Newegg, Overstock.com. I mean, these are big Dell computers. These are big companies. Also, mom and pop businesses. We just went to a local burger shop here in town where we paid for our meals with Bitcoin today. So everything from mom and pop shops all the way on up to mega corporations.
Steam,
an online, huge online video gaming platform. There's so many examples of this. There's no doubt Bitcoin's already a success. I mean, will it stay on top forever? Probably not.
I don't know what the percentages of top 50 websites are that accept Bitcoin, but it's a lot of them.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia.
WikiLeaks.
Yeah. Let me give you a Ben Bernanke quote here just to take home with you.
A little more flavor.
Yeah, from February the 15th, 2006, taking the Wayback Machine.
Before
here.
Bitcoin.
Yep. Housing markets are cooling a bit. Our expectation is the decline in activity or the slowing in activity will be moderate, and then housing prices will probably continue to rise.
Wah, wah, wah.
Right. Then, the catastrophe occurs and people lose, their shirts. What a surprise. Bankers like the technology that is incorporated in Bitcoin. They just don't want you to have it.
Right. Bernanke said, quote, the Fed, the Bank of England, and Japan are very supportive of these technologies because they'll improve payment systems, unquote. He praised Ripple, which is one of the competitors to Bitcoin, for working with regulators and observed that a blockchain-based system might have prevented hackers from robbing $80 million from the central bank of Bangladesh. Ben Bernanke's views on Bitcoin have changed over the years. In 2013, during a Senate committee hearing, he called virtual currencies innovative payment systems and said that the Fed had no plan to regulate them. In 2015, he said Bitcoin's volatility and anonymous nature were serious problems. The market, however, seems to be ignoring Bernanke and Damon's views on Bitcoin and pushing it to scale to even higher peaks. According to CNBC, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are not the new gold, says Goldman Sachs.
In a note,
advising investors that precious metals remain a relevant asset class in portfolios. In a note to its clients earlier this week, Goldman detailed the benefits of holding gold in a portfolio. The investment bank said, quote, "The use of precious metals is not a historical accident. They are still the best long-term store of value out of the known elements." And I agree. I mean, there's no doubt that gold and silver are great forms of hedges against inflation, for instance. Now, I don't agree with Sachs or Goldman Sachs that one should hold it in a portfolio. I think you should hold the gold and silver. I think you ought to physically have it.
I'm not sure that I entirely agree with you.
Why would you want to put Goldman Sachs in charge of your gold?
I wouldn't. But I do believe that there are vaults around the world that are safer than me digging a hole out of my place.
Why?
Why? Because if somebody, if you have enough wealth to store, yeah, people, somebody's going to figure that out, and all they have to do is come to your house, hold a gun to your kid's head, and say, "Where's the gold?"
Uh-huh.
And then they can go out there at 4 o'clock in the morning with a shovel and get it.
The government can do the same thing, and that's exactly what they did to the Liberty Dollar when they came.
They did.
With men with guns to the mint, where, you know, there was plenty of security around the mint that held the Liberty Dollar, and they went up with their guns and they said, "We're from the government. We're here to take your gold." Many commentators have dubbed Bitcoin as digital gold because of the fact that it has a finite supply and has at times seen price rises due to geopolitical tensions. Goldman concluded that Bitcoin, however, is not a good store of value versus gold. Quote, "Gold wins out over cryptocurrencies in a majority of the key characteristics of money." I would like to know what they mean by that, because it seems to me that cryptocurrency is much more useful as far as money is concerned than gold. I mean, you can't easily send gold to somebody.
You can't make a necklace out of cryptocurrency.
Well, but he was talking about characteristics of money. So necklaces don't count as a characteristic of money.
Nope.
So we're just talking about the usefulness of gold versus the usefulness as far as money is concerned. I mean, obviously, gold, you can weigh things down with it, but that's not what we're talking about with usefulness as money. So in order to send somebody cryptocurrency, you just enter in some characters on a computer screen and hit send, and it's there. It's there within moments. With gold, if I want to send you gold, I got to go and get some packing materials. I got to make sure it's, you know, packed up real nice so it doesn't jingle around, to make sure that the mailman's going to know what's in there, because if the mailman knows what's in there, they might break it open and have
can't
access.
Can't send it UPS, can't send it FedEx because they won't accept it. Has to go USPS because it's gold or silver.
Well, you could. You just can't tell them what's in the box.
Oh, good. Now we're lying to people.
What I wanted to talk about was the practicality of the liberty movement. And the fact that I think it's a very good thing, but to achieve the abolishment of the state overnight just isn't practical.
Nobody thinks that's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no button to push.
But what I was saying is I've been experiencing some things on Facebook when I talk to some members of the Liberty Movement, and I push my philosophy of, well, let's work within the system since we can't get rid of the system. Since we're stuck with the system, might as well use the system. And it seems to me that it would be a boon to the Liberty Movement to control candidate selection in primaries, so that instead of the typical Congress critters that you guys are so fond of talking about, we actually...
I don't like talking about them.
Oh, okay. Well, Congress critters is how I always refer to them. I just meant that you call them Congress critters and you seem to like doing that.
I would call them scum of the earth. I don't call them...
call them Congress critters.
Oh, okay.
Carson, I would say that...
I'm going to put you on hold, Carson, just because it's too noisy. Go ahead.
Thank you. People should do what makes them happy. And for some people, your Daryl Perrys of the world. They're just a certain type of people that politics, the ins and outs of it, really appeal to them, and it makes them happy to go into that arena. But I think that freedom is something that mankind has been getting more and more of throughout his whole history.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of freedom that the three of us hope for is coming whether we like it or not. And regardless of what the politicians do, I think you should get involved with politics if it makes you happy. But
okay.
But
not everybody has to abandon the state.
No, but I don't think you should think that is really helping a lot. I think that when freedom comes, it's that politics is going to be a few steps behind.
That's always true. What is it going to look like, Johnny Ray, when freedom comes?
Mayors are going to be, at that time, they're just slowly going to devolve into ribbon cutters.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to have
That's basically all the mayor of Keene is.
An honorary role. The powers that they have are just going to whittle away. They're going to wither on the vine.
For listeners that don't know, Lumpy here was one of the earlier movers for the New Hampshire Freedom Migration. You had to leave, I think, due to some family related issues. And
my dad was dying. Yeah.
And you were in Michigan for a while. It sounds like you're a little closer now, back to a little closer to
New Hampshire. Michigan is awesome, guys. I know you probably had some of it, and you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ian's probably had weed in every state he's been in.
I don't think so. Anyway.
So my call tonight is about this is important. This is something that's been going through my mind for a while because I got the chance to try a couple of weeks ago, and it's been a long time since I've been able to do this. Some lysergic dimethicone. That's right, acid.
Mm. Okay.
And it's been years since I've tried something like that. And which is an organic substance that actually grows on rye seed. Okay? Mm. And let me tell you, since that point, I felt a whole hell of a lot better about my own life and in a lot of situations that I've been questioning for quite a while. I also know that people like Barry Cooper are running the clinic for drug addicts down in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Before anybody jumps to any conclusions, I want to make sure that we're clear. LSD is definitely a psychedelic substance. It is an entheogen. It is something that deserves a lot of research before you get into it. It shouldn't be something that's taken lightly. It is a it can be a very intense time. And you had said you'd done it previously in your life, but it had been quite a while, right?
Yeah, years, yeah.
And the opportunity presented itself, and you're feeling better for it. Obviously, everybody's got their own place in life where they're at, and I would say to somebody out there, if you're thinking about doing something like this, there are some precautions that you need to take. One is you need to make sure it's something you're ready for. I mean, you can't really know what LSD is like until you actually take it. But if you are afraid, do not do LSD. If you are angry, you should not do LSD. You need
and
to have the right...
Drink and do things like mushrooms.
If you want to go on a trip, you better have a trip guide.
Yes, that's good advice. I'm glad you called to suggest that. Why? Tell listeners why that's important.
Well, because you're going in unknown territory. It's kind of like driving... or jumping in the river without a map, you know?
Mm. Yeah, the sitter is...
And I would say it's not a mind-altering drug, it's a mind-expanding drug.
That's an excellent way to put it. You're going to get into other areas of your mind that you normally wouldn't be able to access, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You're opening way dusty cupboards, and you don't know what's up in there.
So the idea would be to have somebody who has experience with LSD, not just, you don't just want to call up mom or whoever and have them sit with you because they might freak out. So, you want to have somebody.
Right. Yeah, you want to have somebody who's been down this road before. I mean, I'm not quite old enough to have hung out with Timothy Leary, but I probably hung out with some of his proteges back in the day.
Right on. So what other recommendations do you have?
Well, let me think.
So setting. I didn't really touch on that too much. I did talk about the mental, status that you want to be. You don't want to be in an angry place. You don't want to be in a fearful place because those could be amplified.
Right. And you don't want to be in like a populous place. I mean, the woods is a very good place.
You don't want to be at work packing apples.
I've heard of some people having good times in graveyards. I've heard of some people having bad times in graveyards.
Like I was going to say, unless you're afraid of the woods or afraid of the graveyard, you don't want to go there. But
if you're a Puritan.
Yeah. If you're in tune with nature, it just brings the harmony right there to you.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.